Continue our series this morning called React. We're talking about a few things over the next couple of weeks. We've been looking at the resurrection story from a lot of different perspectives, looking at how people have responded, reacted really to Jesus' resurrection. It's all kinds of different ways that people have reacted, and it affects us, how we can learn maybe our reaction a little better, how we can react differently to God in a lot of different circumstances. So we'll dig into that a little bit more. I do want to say this, yesterday evening, we took a group of our church council over to New Albany, Indiana. We had an event yesterday evening. We had a learning event. It was a great opportunity for us to gather together. And so we sat and listened to Sue Nilsen Kibbe share with us a little bit about the missional church and what it means to be in leadership. So we had a great time together. So when we talk about praying for the church, we're talking about praying good stuff about the church. You know, what is God saying about the vision of our church and the leadership of our church going into the future? We have over 190 years of ministry in Newburgh. Can you imagine that? 190 years in Newburgh. We've got a lot more years ahead of us and some really effective and wonderful ministry. So we're really looking at what is God doing, and we're discerning all of that. So I'm grateful for that group of leadership that did a great job yesterday. And we sat together and had a great chance to kind of reflect together. And then our trip back last night was really great, filled with conversation about the future. So good stuff's coming. So, as we jump into this morning, I invite you to turn your Bible to Matthew 28. We're going to look at a couple of things there. If you don't have a Bible with you, there are some in the pews, but I always invite you to and remind you to bring your Bibles to worship. Always a helpful thing. But let's pray together as we dive into this together. Thank you, gracious God, for the glory of another day. We are grateful for just gathering in this place together. So bring us together, mind, heart, body, that we might discern together, understand together, learn together, discover your presence together. So work amongst us. So work all around all of us and in all of us gathered in this place. Who work in those who listen with us and in with us on the internet, and use me especially, so that what we hear this day is nothing less than the very word you speak. For we gather in the name of Jesus, the risen Christ, our Lord. Amen. I meant what I said this morning with the kids. That bird that sits up in our tree every morning is just an inspiration to me. I don't know what it was. A few years ago, I started watching birds. I don't know what it was that started that process, but I watch birds. I take pictures of birds and try to identify what kind they are. We were in Israel a few years ago, and I bought a whole chart of birds, and I took a million pictures of birds that I don't even look at anymore. It seems like there's just a bunch of pictures of birds, but it was interesting to see birds, and there's something about that moment when they begin to sing, and it's just a God moment. How about for you? Moments like that? I thought I'd show you just a few pictures this morning of some places, events, and things that just make my heart sing. You know, things that just touch me deeply to make me say, wow, God, how amazing you are. Just look at a couple of these. I'll show you a few things as we go along. This is the Smoky Mountains. This is taken last fall. My wife and I went on just a little weekend retreat just to get away for a few days. And I was talking to somebody after the first service today, and we said, you know, I took like 100 pictures, and I couldn't figure out which one to use this morning because they were all really incredible. Not because I'm a great photographer, but the vision is just beautiful there, and it just made us stop and say, wow. The next one. This is one of our sailing journeys for Peggy and I. We were just having a ball on this sailboat. I'll tell you, if you've never been sailing, it's the most incredible feeling. No sound, no motors, other than just wind and water. It's incredible. Just one of those take your breath away moments, literally. Here's another slide. This is a labyrinth. This is at a Lindenwood Retreat Center up north. It's just an incredible place. But anytime I've walked through a labyrinth, there's just something about those moments of quiet when you can just be present with God, let kind of block out the rest of the world for a while, and just walk through that path that leads towards God in the center. It's a pretty amazing thing. It takes my breath away. Next slide. This is David's Waterfall in En-Gedi, in the middle of the Judean wilderness. It doesn't look much like a wilderness there. It's kind of an oasis in the middle of the desert. En-Gedi's always been known as an oasis. Fresh water flows right out of the mountains there. It's called David's Waterfall because King David spent some time in En-Gedi. We love hiking back up into this place, and we took a group of folks there last year to hike back up into that spot, one of our favorites. Next slide. This is me in Jerusalem. This is up against one of the walls of the old temple. This is called the teaching steps. And I've spent a lot of time, it seems, on these steps just thinking about all the things that took place in those spots. The teaching steps is where had an entrance, a main entrance into the temple area. This is where the rabbis would gather with their disciples, and they would spend time teaching right there, their students. Jesus spent time on these teaching steps, teaching his disciples before he would take them up into the temple for worship. Right outside of this place, there's also some what's called mikvah baths. These are ritual bathings, almost like baptism, where they would bathe themselves, spend some time in learning and teaching, and then walk up into the temple to make their sacrifices. It's an incredible place of history and this religious discipleship. It's been an incredible place, and I've liked to spend some time here. Next slide. Well, this is pretty self-explanatory, I think. This is one of the tombs in Jerusalem, supposedly that was inhabited by Jesus. Good news is, in neither of the places where they said Jesus was buried, is he there. And so whenever I see the tombs, I think it's awesome. It doesn't matter which one it was, which one is real. I just see that it's empty, and that's a great news, right? And so when I watch this tomb, there's just something about it that just says, wow, God, how incredible you are. Just a couple other pictures just from some travels that make me say, wow. Next slide. This is the Garden of Gethsemane, right across the valley from the temple. This is an ancient olive tree that's in there, one of dozens of ancient olive trees. You can even see it's so old and bent over that they had to put a stick in it to hold it up because it's ready to fall down, and it's just so old and ancient. And whenever I'm in this garden, it makes me think about what took place there, the prayers that Jesus offered there in those spaces in that moment that sent him to the cross and the resurrection. Things that make me say, wow. Next slide. Just a couple more. This is one of my favorite spots in all of Israel. This is taken from the Sea of Galilee, looking up at this mountain. It's called Mount Arbel. We stayed up on Mount Arbel for about a month, and it's just an incredible place when I think about Mount Arbel. The next slide is taken from the top of Mount Arbel, looking back down in the same place. A place that I spent as much time as I could just to meditate, looking out over the Sea of Galilee and all of the places that Jesus traveled. You could see most of them from that vantage point. It's just a moment that makes me say, wow. There's a couple others. This is just the Sea of Galilee. There's Peggy sitting on a stump just watching the water. Next one. Some of the best-looking kids you'll ever see. My grandkids. Well, two of them anyway. This is taken at Christmas. You can just see in the looks of their eyes, they're ornery as can be, and they're incredible. The next slide. These were given to me, sent to me yesterday. That's Layla. She was in the previous picture. Now she's posing. And then Griffin is the next one. And then one more. Can't forget one more. Little Oliver. Best-looking kids you'll ever see. There's something about your kids, your grandkids, and I've noticed that my kids don't do this anymore. When I see my grandkids, they run to me and grab me around the neck and hold me. When Oliver comes, and I see him almost every day, but when Oliver sees me, he comes running into my arms. My kids don't do that anymore. Maybe I'm glad they don't do that anymore. I don't know. If they came running and jumping into my arms, I don't know if I could hold them. But there's something about that feeling when your kids come and run into your arms and you get to hold them, or your grandkids, they come up to you and you get to hold them. There's something incredible about that. It doesn't matter how bad your day is, how good your day is, it just gets better from there. There's something about those moments. They're holy moments in a sense. They're God-present moments, just because there's something of joy that wells up within us. Well, that's really what we're talking about this morning, are those kinds of moments. You can go ahead to the next slide. It's those kinds of moments, those moments that just make us stop for a minute, or maybe for a while, to just say, what is going on here? There's something about this moment that's affecting me, that's touching me deeply. In the scripture, there's a ton of those moments, and I know for you, you've felt them, you've experienced them, you feel them every day or every once in a while even. They're moments that take your breath away. What are those moments for you? You don't have to say them out loud, but I know that's what, there's some items, there's some times, there's some events that are going through your mind right now. I want you to hold on to those moments for a minute. Just think about, what are the times that have affected you, that have just stopped you for a moment, that just made your heart skip a beat, that just made you feel so good about some moment in the midst of your life. Maybe it's one of those things that you go back to over and over again because you love the feeling of it so deeply, so desperately. Those catch-your-breath moments, they're in Scripture, throughout the Scriptures. In fact, one of them I think is really great. It's in Genesis 28. It's when Jacob was going out through the wilderness and he was trying to discover what was going on with him, with God, with himself, with his future. And it says he laid down in the middle of this place that was unknown to him, and as he slept with a rock as his pillow, he dreamed of this staircase going up and down to heaven and watching the angels descending and ascending on it. And he woke up the next morning and he just cried out in one of those awe-inspiring moments. He just cried out, God, you're in this place and I didn't even know it. An awe-inspiring moment. He called that place Bethel, the house of God, because God was in it and he wasn't even aware. It was a little later in the story in Exodus chapter 3 when Moses is out in the wilderness as well. And while Moses is in the wilderness tending a flock of sheep, it says that a burning bush just comes up, he comes upon this bush that's just flaming. And he goes over to see it, and it says that God begins to speak out of the burning bush and spoke Moses' name. You know what it says that Moses does after that? It says he falls down because he can't even look at the face of God. He falls face down in worship. It's one of those moments that just caught him by surprise and caught his breath. It's amazing to me. Those moments in the midst of our lives, they're throughout the Scriptures. When Moses then took that wilderness experience with those all of those Israelites, it says at the very end of the chapter 40 in Exodus, the Israelites were getting together. They had just erected the tabernacle, and they began worshiping inside the tabernacle. And it says that the presence of God came so thickly amongst them that God was so present with them that Moses couldn't even enter the tabernacle to do his work. God was present, and all the people of Israel just paused to say, wow. One of my favorite stories is in 2 Chronicles chapter 5. Now, a lot of you probably have not read Chronicles because you got stuck in Leviticus, and you never made it to Chronicles. That's kind of one of those challenging places to get to at times, if you start chronologically or you start at the beginning. But 2 Chronicles is, first and 2 Chronicles are great stories about Israel and some of the prime of its life. It's about King Saul and King David and then eventually King Solomon. Well, 2 Chronicles picks up with Solomon just taking over his reign in Israel. And David had begun preparing this great temple in Jerusalem. You know, David wasn't allowed to build it, but he was allowed to design it and collect all the supplies from all around the Middle East. And so at the beginning of 2 Chronicles, Solomon begins his reign and begins building the temple. And as we get to the end of chapter 5, we see that they had just brought the altar, the Ark of the Covenant, into the Holy of Holies, and they set it up in its place. And it says that 120 priests gathered in that spot, and they began to sing. Some of them were playing instruments, others of them singing, and they were doing all of their work. They were making their sacrifices. And in the midst of all of this great celebration, as Israel was gathered all the way around the outside of the temple, it was an amazing sight. It just had to be. And then in the middle of all of this worship, it says that the presence of God showed up. Now, it wasn't a cloud. It wasn't a fire. It was just this presence that everybody felt. And it made everybody pause. It made the singers stop singing, it says. It made the players stop playing, it says, because they just had to stop because of the presence of God. I love that idea. The Shekinah is what it's called in great Hebrew word, the Shekinah glory of God, this God that is so present, so real to us in this moment that we can feel it, not see it, not touch it so much, but it touches us. The Shekinah glory touched that moment and made Israel say, wow. It's the same kind of feeling that the women found when they went to the tomb that day. Matthew's gospel just simply says these women went to the tomb and they met an angel who told them the story about where Jesus is going. And so they told the women to go and tell the disciples where to go next. Go to Galilee, go to a certain mountain where they had met Jesus before. And as they were on their way to do that, it says they met Jesus. and what they did when they met Jesus. I mean, he surprised them. They weren't expecting Jesus to show up in that spot in that moment, and yet when he did, the first thing they did was to fall to their knees and worship. They lifted their hands, they bent their knees, they gave themselves to this moment that Jesus was with them. This is later when the disciples finally made it to Galilee and Jesus showed up among them, that some of them, not all of them, but some of them, who were prepared somehow for this experience, who were prepared for something unusual because they had heard Jesus was alive, and when they saw him, it says they worshiped. Awe-inspiring, holy moments. It's what we too often don't pay attention to. Because I want to let you know that when we find those moments, whether they're in the midst of ordinary, everyday things, whether they're in the midst of worship like they were this morning as we sang those songs, I don't know if you felt that, but there was something going on in the midst of this worship today. There was a presence in the midst of it. And whenever we discover that those moments that begin to take our breath away, those are holy moments. Every moment that takes our breath away is a holy moment because God is present in it. It's why resurrection is so powerful. It's why we have the resurrection. It's because God wants us to know that God is present with us in every moment of every day. And there are times when we just go about our ordinary stuff and we miss it. But there are times we have to pay attention to those awe-inspiring, breathtaking moments. Because God is present there. And even in the ordinary of every day, we can call that holy. The reason that's important to us is because there are too often times in the midst of our life is that, well, we're afraid to drop to our knees and raise our hands and say, Jesus, what have you just done? We're afraid to do that. We're afraid of what other people might say about us or what people might think about us as we do that. But, you know, there are times when we just have to stop and say, well, let me say it this way. A few years ago, I met a lady by the name of Pauline. Pauline is, she met Jesus as an older adult. And she went to it's a retreat called a Walk to Emmaus. And that's where I met Pauline. It was on a Walk to Emmaus. And what I discovered about Pauline is that something happened inside of her and she began to see the world with different eyes. In fact, she began to see through that weekend and the weekends that came after that, and I've served alongside of Pauline on many occasions after that first encounter. But what I discovered about Pauline is that she saw with the world differently. And she began to see God moments in every day. And she had one phrase that she used over and over and over again whenever a God moment came up. And I love it. It's as simple as this. She said, "Thank you, Jesus." And she always said it in just that way. I don't know where, if she was from the South, I don't know exactly where she was from, but it was always the same. Thank you, Jesus. That almost had a kind of a meter to it. It was really great. But there's something about that. There are times that we need to stop in the midst of our day, in the midst of one of these holy moments and say, thank you, Jesus, for what I've just experienced, for what I've just seen, for what may seem ordinary, but now I understand that there's more to it. What I've seen, because God has been present in every one of those moments, every day in the midst of our lives. And the reason I think it's important for us to learn this way of responding to this resurrection is that, well, Christ is waiting to meet us in every part of every day. He's waiting for us to open our lives up to the possibility that there's extraordinary things that can happen in the midst of ordinary days. This resurrection is meant to draw us closer to God because God is drawn close to us. And this resurrection is to remind us that, well, the wow moments, the breathtaking moments are holy. My prayer for you is, and my challenge to you, is to begin looking with different eyes into the world and into your everyday, maybe even mundane lives. Because I'll guarantee that if we open our minds up, our hearts up to the possibilities that God is present in those awe-inspiring moments, we'll find a new joy. We'll find a way of in which to look at the world differently. We'll find ways that even in the midst of struggles like Texas and Boston, we'll be able to stop and pause and say, thank you, Jesus. That's what the resurrection is trying to teach us, to learn to drop to our knees, to raise our hands and say, I can't believe what you've been doing, God, but thank you very much for it. Because they happen every day. Christ is present every day. He's waiting for us to drop to our knees and say thank you. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, your presence is incredible to us. And yet too often, we just go about our day to day. We see amazing things and we don't even pause to say thank you for it. But we know, God, we know, we've heard it, we understand it, but now help us to see that every day has another opportunity, maybe dozens of opportunities to say thank you, Jesus. So God, break down whatever walls that we've built between us. Help us to overcome all those obstacles to keep us from seeing. Help us to give up what other people say, or even what other people see. And help us to respond to you with worship and with joy, just like the disciples did who fell at your feet and worshiped. For today, we give you thanks. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
You stand and sing with us a closing song, I Will Rise.
There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave. I will rise.
I know you've heard it a million times, but God is present in every moment of every day, no matter how far we go, how far we run away. God is present in every moment. And every once in a while, we get a glimpse of this power in the midst of our lives. We'll see the breathtaking moment. That's when God is most present to us, real to us. Let us open our eyes and our hearts and our very spirits to experience the holy of those moments where God is really with us. Friends, as you go from this place today, may God give you great blessings. As you see the spring, may it bring breathtaking moments to your life, not just in the beauty, but in the presence. And as we leave this place, don't forget this. We're trying something different. We've been doing something different over the last several weeks. And that is, I don't want you to rush out and leave real quickly. I want you to meet those people who are worshiping with you. We're a community of faith. And so I'm going to invite you this morning right now to turn to one another and introduce yourself. And if you'd like to pray with me this morning, I'll be standing down front. I'd like to pray with you. Or if you'd just like to meet with me or talk with me, I'll be right down front. But I'd like for you to get to know those people around you. So meet those, greet those, and have a great week. God bless you.